Okay, so tonight, 20 minutes or so, I'm going to start. And I'm trying to do a three-part series on a particular aspect of serving God. So tonight we're going to talk about personality, the who we are. Next week we'll talk about ministry, what God has given us as a mission to do individually. And then we'll talk about giftings, the things that God has given us in the toolkit. So if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of you love God's Word?
Amen.
How many of you need God's Word?
Yes.
How many of you need more God's Word?
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. The more we look at it, the better it gets, right? Yep. The more we look at it, the more the things we used to say, I have no idea what that means, they start to make more sense.
Yeah.
All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm kind of using this as a framework for all 3 weeks. Here it is. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, those three statements sound a lot the same, don't they? But they're not the same. What is the same about all three of those statements?
Difference.
Different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of workings. Now, I'd like to point out to you, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's talking about the gifts of the Spirit that Paul's about to talk about in this chapter. All right? So, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit who gives them. All right? And then there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Who's the Lord?
Jesus
Christ, the Lord. Right? Different kinds of service, or I could use a different word because it's the same word. There are different kinds of ministries or different kinds of missions, but it's the same Lord who shares with us his mission, his ministry. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the third one. There are different kinds of working. One translation says there are different kinds of divinely empowered workings. I really like that. There are different kinds of divinely empowered workings, but the same God who works his divine power in all men. So who's this God?
God the Father.
This is God the Father. We've got here, often overlooked because of the context it's in, we've got here a great Trinitarian number of verses, all right? And yet, in an amazing way, it's saying the same thing, but about different features or factors about the way that we're made. We're going to talk about the first one today. The first one is there, or the last one rather, we're going to take first. There are different kinds of divine working or divine empowerment, but it's the same God who works all of them in all men. Remember, as we go through this, one of the things I'm going to focus on is this idea of difference. I don't think we do that well with that idea. Just a thought as an intro. I don't think we do all that well with this idea. I'm going to quote a verse to you. It's, but let's get this idea before I go on. So what I hear this verse saying is God the Creator, God the Father, who actually shaped every single one of us, right? The way in which he shaped you, the way in which he shaped me, is intricately connected with the way he wants to utilize me. The fact that we're not all the same is by definition and purpose. All right, so what we're going to look at today is how are we made? How did God make you? How did God make me? Or let me say it another way. What I'm going to actually talk about tonight is your personality. My personality. Or your personhood. Does that make sense? If you look around the room, you will notice that physically we are all different. Some are tall. Some are short. Some are old. Some are young. Some have hair. Some don't have hair. Some are male.
You should stop while
some
you're ahead.
Some are female. I'm not going to. Our skin tone is different. Sometimes the color of our skin is different. Our hair is different. Our countenance is different. Some people don't have as big a nose as I do. Some people have bigger ears than I do. Okay? I'm focusing on something because it's essential that we embrace the way the God who created us made us. If you and I don't embrace who we are, the way He made us, the personality He gave us, okay, it's going to be very difficult for us to get a hold of the divine workings that are the reason God made us that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. How about likes and dislikes? How many of you like peanut butter? Anybody don't like peanut butter? You're shaking your head.
Oh, I don't like peanut butter.
Okay.
That's why I lost my hair.
Maybe if you put it on, it'd come back. Put peanut butter on.
That's not true.
Okay. We're different in our likes and dislikes, aren't we? Anybody here hate football? Traeger. Okay. Anybody here love football?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Who likes to do books like your checkbook? Balance your checkbook and write it. See,
no
see
way.
Now some people are like, yes, I love it. Yeah. I like it. I'm one of the weird ones, okay? Likes and dislikes, all right? Some people are just incredibly open in strange places and with strange people, right? Some people are terrified.
You like church?
Some people are terrified in, I should say, new places or foreign places. Or a new situation. Okay. Some people are terrified in those situations. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be in them. They don't want anything to do with them. Some people are afraid to meet new people. Other people, it's a joy. Some people are introverts. Some people are extroverts. Yeah. All right? Here is a very, very easy way for us to excuse all those things. Well, we have a fallen nature. But I'm here to tell you, these things that God is talking about, that God the Father created and put in us, they function in the fallen nature, and they function in the saved nature. The only difference is, when they function in the fallen nature, because that's the way God made them, when they function in the fallen nature, they're used selfishly. When they function in the saved nature, they're used to encourage, build up other people,
Amen.
And give glory to God.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. This is one of the basic ways we serve God. It's to figure out, not to fight with who we are, but to figure out, this is how God made me. You know what? There are certain things that you love to do. I guarantee you, the things that you naturally love to do, no one asked you to do them, no one has to motivate you to do them, you just love to do them. That is connected with how God wants to work His divine power in you to encourage other people and to honor Him. That's where we should all start. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
All right. Good deal. So then I talked about looks and I talked about likes. I could talk about loves, but I can't really talk about loves because real love is what God has done for us. Mm-hmm. But I'll use it in the vernacular. There are things we love. Mm-hmm. Right? Should I tell you? I really like the golf.
The truth. You changed it from love to like, I noticed.
I really did change it from like to love, from love to like. But at any rate, you know, there are things that we really enjoy doing that are real, they're on our chart. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if I just golf for myself, if I just golf for my own pleasure, and there was a time when I wouldn't golf. There was a time when I wouldn't take the time. It took too much time, et cetera, et cetera. All right? And now it's like when I golf, you know what I do? I golf with people who also love golf. So there's a commonality. And all of a sudden, in that commonality, I can connect with them as a golfer who loves Jesus, even though they may be a golfer who wants nothing to do with Jesus. As a result, I've been asked to do some of their marriages. I've been asked to visit them when they're sick. I have been asked to give them advice in different situations.
To pray for them.
To pray for them, to care for them in some way. Interesting. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Being a pastor doesn't just happen inside the walls of a church. But that's next week's. That's mission.
Preach.
All right. So here's a verse. Here's a verse for you. You don't have to turn there, but you will know it is from Genesis, and you might not know where, but it's Genesis 2:7. Listen. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Some translations say living being, but I want you to hear that. The Lord God formed man, made a shape, made Adam a certain shape out of dust, right? And breathed the breath of life, okay, into his nostrils. That's pretty specific, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and only then did man become a living soul, a living person. Only then did man become a personality. I don't know about you, but I particularly like people that are characters. I like people that are characters. I like people that have a lot of personality. You know, they don't rub me the wrong way, they rub me the right way. You can even make fun of them sometimes, right? Okay, but this is what I want you to get tonight, if you get nothing else. God made you, and at some point before you were in your mother's womb, or at the very time that egg and seed came together, God personally breathed into the shape of DNA and those few cells that you were, God breathed, and you are on your way to becoming a living soul.
Mm.
And when you got birthed and you got spanked, or you didn't have to be spanked to cry, your soul started to express itself right then and there, and it hasn't stopped since. Now here's the deal. In our fallen nature, what we sometimes do is we sometimes see our weaknesses. Did you know to every strength there's a corresponding weakness? Okay. To every great gift there is a temptation or an underneath. This is one of the reasons that we absolutely need one another. Okay. But the idea I want you to get a hold of is this idea that God made you a certain way, and you have got to embrace the way, and I do too, you've got to embrace the way God made you. You've got to accept the fact that there are certain likes and there are certain dislikes, and not wonder if any part of it is sin, or it's all from the fallen nature. It's not all from the fallen nature. God made you a certain way. Isn't it interesting how God made some people to be analytical? Do you know anybody that's analytical? Can I tell you they can't help themselves? Is it okay that I say? They can't. That's the way God made them. The issue becomes, God, how do you want to use this? Not for my own selfish fulfillment. How do you want to use this to bring glory to you and to encourage other people? Okay, now, let's face it. If you analyze every word I say and every deed I've done, you'll drive me crazy while you're driving yourself crazy. Okay. But here's the idea. The idea about this is we've got to come to the point where I am not going to judge myself. I'm not going to engage in any kind of self-hate or self-disdain about how God made me. Because in doing so, I run the risk of rejecting the image of God that he put in me. That's good theology, by the way. We're made in his image, right? So we ought not to reject or disdain the image of him that's in us. Instead, let's discover it. If you discover what God put in you, okay, you and I will be much more fulfilled, will be much happier, and we will not engage in self-judgment. Do you know when you engage in self-judgment, you engage in judgment this way too? The times when I'm most likely to judge you are when I am down on myself, okay, and I see a flaw in you, so it's easy to escape this flaw by judging you. One of the things that God tells us not to do. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12, and this is really one. All that is intro. Is that a good intro?
Yep.
Okay, all that was intro. Now we're going to go to Romans 12, and I always wish when I go to Romans that I had time to read the whole book, but we don't. I'm going to start in verse 3. I am going to read through verse 8, and then we'll come back and take it apart. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I don't know what you think about all those words. I'm going to start in verse 3. And of course, Romans 12 starts with, you know, offer your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable expression of service. And again, we're at the same thought I was just talking about. To offer my body to God is to say, here I am, here's the way you made me. How do you want to use this personality that dwells inside this body? All right, and then of course Paul goes on and talks about the transformation of the mind. Well, in these verses I chose, he's talking about the transformation of the mind. Verse 3, here's what he says. You and I need to learn to think soberly about ourselves. We need to think about ourselves in the right way, in a way that is serious, but that is clear. And he says, he implies the other. But here's one thing he says. He says, don't think too highly of yourselves. That would be a warning against pride. So what am I encouraging you to do tonight? I'm encouraging you to think in accordance with the faith that God has given you about the good things that God has planted in you and that are in you and that are ready to be utilized. But I'm also encouraging you not to think so highly of yourself, all right, that you're not thinking correctly, but you're... What happens when we think too highly of ourselves? What happens, Randy, if you think too highly of yourselves?
You get knocked down real quick.
If you think too highly of yourselves, you think too lowly of other people. It's pretty simple. If I think too highly of myself, if I think correctly about myself, then I understand I have flaws and gifts, and I'm going to think of other people in the right way. So don't think too highly of ourselves, but by the same token, he says, think in accordance with the measure of faith God's given you. Think in the correct way about yourself. Not too high, but not in a miserable manner either. You've got to recognize that God made you and he planted things in you. Then, verse 4, you got to hear this. Because he gives a picture, the same picture as in 1 Corinthians 12. But I love the way he says it here. Verse 4, he says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function or the same working. Touch your ear. Touch your toe.
No, I can't. No.
Okay. Do those two members of your body have the same function?
No.
Do you think those two members of the body, if they were placed next to each other, would even get along? Why are you laughing?
Trying to envision putting my toe next to my ear.
Okay. Well, the good part is God designed our bodies, right? But listen to what he's saying. Okay? Listen to what he's saying. Each of us has one body with many members, right? And these members don't all have the same, they don't all do the same thing. In fact, they specifically expressly do different functions or, to use the word I introduced to you, workings. God the Father has made us each with giving us divine power for different workings. All right? So our members all have different functions or workings. Now listen to the comparison he makes. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. And all the members are different in one body. But listen, look at the next thing he says. Each member belongs to one another. Actually, it says to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Wait a minute. You are not the boss of me. Or maybe you are. Maybe one of the things God wants to do in what we call the body of Christ or the church is to get us to digest that difference is not bad. Difference means different function. Difference means more possibilities for God to do everything that he wants in a group of people who are different but who are connected and love each other and actually perceive that they belong to one another. What a beautiful picture that. Again, same pictures in 1 Corinthians 12, all right? And then we each belong to each other. It's fantastic. We each belong to all the others. There's one body. You know, I think today, sometimes when I listen to people, they actually believe that when they leave one church family and go to another church family, they have actually left one body and they've gone to a completely separate body. That's not possible. That's impossible. Okay? There's only one body, all right? And that one body, the church, is every believer, past, present, and future, who have ever put their faith in God over all of our human time frame.
Wow. That's great.
That's who we're going to be with when we're with the Lord. When we're united with the Lord, that's who we're going to be with together. I don't know if you like or dislike that thought.
I do. I get it.
Okay, so here, I'm getting darn done. Let me say this. We are now given seven workings, all right? I personally think that these seven workings are not a complete list. Anybody else agree with me? You don't have to. I don't think that these seven workings are a complete list. I don't think Paul got a download and said, here's all the ways that God the Father puts his divine nature to function in human beings. But these are big, broad categories, all right? And if it's prophesy in proportion to their faith. Some people today have a problem with prophecy. I don't understand it, all right? It didn't end. It's still ongoing. Think of prophecy like this. Here's the simplest way I can talk to you about prophecy. Think of prophecy like this. Divine insight into what God is saying, into what God is doing. Divine insight into the people of God, or even unsaved people, that guide you in being wise and saying the right thing to encourage them toward God. Is there anything wrong with that? Uh-uh. I mean, that's beautiful. Let me say it another way. I believe that because these gifts are attached to the way the Father created us, have you ever met a super insightful person who does not know the Lord and does not claim to know the Lord? Anybody ever met a person like that?
Yep.
Okay. There's a gift of God because of his creative genius and power at work in people. Anybody ever meet a fantastic teacher who does not know the Lord or even maybe acknowledge God? Anybody ever meet a person who is a mercy giver?
Yes.
Okay. But who refuses to acknowledge God at all? How can that be? These are divine workings. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Same thing with, okay, if your gift is contributing, I love this one because in our world, how many self-made, that's an interesting, how many self-made millionaires are there? How many people are there who had a great idea, all right? Or some of them have one great idea and they build a business and sell it, and another great idea and they build a business and sell it, and another great idea. And I'm not even saying that they don't necessarily give, but that is the gift of God at work. I think the gift of God is at work in bunches of people. I think God wants to redeem that use so it's not selfish, so it becomes something that contributes to other people. This list is so interesting to me because, you know, if God made you serve, then serve. I mean, that's what he says. You know, if God gave you insight into people, then according to the proportion of your faith, give that insight away. If God made you to teach, by goodness, go teach. Do you know you don't need a platform for any of these things? Do you know you don't need a title for any of these things? Do you know that you can be called to teach, and you can teach children, you can teach neighbors, you can teach your next door friends? Mm-hmm. We have this idea that these things only take place in this atmosphere. But I think God cares about the world. I think God cares about your neighbor. I think God cares about people who have already decided they will never go to church and they will never listen to a preacher. So you're their preacher. You're their servant. How about the gift of anybody here, you know, anybody here like the gift of encouragement? If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, now we'll get into trouble talking about leadership. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently.
Amen.
You can't get away from the fact that leadership is packaged along with this thing called authority. You don't have any gift of leadership if you don't have any authority. However, how you use the authority, if your gift is leadership, then lead in a way that is diligently following what God wants you to do. Lead in a way that utilizes God's given authority and gift to serve him and honor him. We don't have a whole lot of that going on in government today. We've got a whole lot of leadership with people who probably have been gifted and made to lead. That's a whole other topic. Can't go there. Listen to this one. If it's mercy, if it's showing mercy, all right, do it cheerfully. Anybody ever get tired of serving? Anybody ever get tired of picking up the pieces and showing mercy? Anybody ever get tired of leading? Anybody ever get tired?
Yes.
These things are spoken in such a way to keep us on track. And by the way, let me say to you, when we function in these areas and we understand that it's the grace of God, the power of God that's at work with us, that in itself is refreshing to us. Mm-hmm. That in itself is refreshing to us. So here's these seven workings. I don't think that they are a complete list. I want to finish with this. Since you're in Romans 12, look at Romans 12, 9. Every one of these places that we're going to go to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the ministries of Jesus, and the workings of the Father, every one of them are surrounded by scriptures about, surprise, surprise, love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. See, there's one that wasn't mentioned in the list above. If we go to verse 8 of the next chapter, listen, let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. 14:1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment. 15:1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Here's what I want to say to you. Being gifted does not mean you have character. Being gifted means God made you. You have to build character, and the character He wants us to build when we are using our gifting is to love one another. And that is so plain and so powerful. Listen, our gifts will only work properly if we operate them in love. If we're operating in love, then the differences will not matter because love will cover over the differences and the judgments won't take place. If we operate without love, the differences will matter, the opinions will matter, and judgments will come. Which do you prefer? See, I believe God wants to take us to a new place as the church that bears His name. I believe God wants to take us to a place where this body that He made with many members and different functions really begins to flow together in such a powerful love that God is not just glorified, but that the world begins to stand up and take note and say, this cannot be human. This has to be God Himself. We're going to stop and pray. Here's what I, just close your eyes for a second. Because here's what I want to challenge you with as we just then go to prayer. And you've got lists with all kinds of prayer things. I want to challenge you today. Would you use the way that God made you? Would you use your personality, your likes and dislikes to serve God and to serve the gospel of Christ? Would you be willing to explore all over again? How did God make me so that I can serve that one that made me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these beautiful scriptures. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to encourage, love one another, even as we pray for one another.